Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A sure sign of fall snow is forecast to creep down the Alaska Range as low pressure pushes across the interior today. National Weather Service meteorologist Ryan Metzger says remnants of tropical storms are expected to deliver substantial moisture to the region.
We're expecting like a quarter to a half of an inch of rainfall in through tomorrow morning. And in some of the higher elevations, like perhaps like along the Park Road in Denali National Park, above 3,000 feet, we could see up to 3 inches of snow.
Snow is also forecast in the eastern Brooks Range, where a system from the north is expected to drop 2 to 4 inches through tomorrow morning, followed by a break, and then another 4 to 6 inches of snow through the weekend. Some accumulation is expected on the Dalton Highway. Communications which prompted the Fairbanks Northstar Bureau to close its administrative center last Thursday and Friday do not rise to the level of criminal threats. Fairbanks Police spokeswoman Yumi McCulloch says police completed an investigation into the alleged threats and found charges are not warranted. Bureau Chief of Staff Jim Williams says no additional threats have been received since last week. The Bureau closed the Juanita Helms Administrative Center Thursday night and Friday out of concern for employee and public safety. Williams says the facility reopened Monday with heightened security. The Bureau never publicly identified the source of the alleged threats, but Chris Ripple, a Bureau resident whose property has been foreclosed on for failure to pay taxes, said last week he exchanged communications with Bureau staff, challenging their authority to tax and take his land. Ripple's house burned last Thursday, 2 days prior to when the property was scheduled to be sold at a Bureau foreclosure auction. The auction was subsequently postponed to a yet-to-be-announced date. Troopers are investigating the fire. This year's 40-mile caribou hunt has yielded a record harvest. The herd size is estimated at about 72,000 animals, the largest it's been since peaking in the hundreds of thousands nearly a century ago. Alaska Department of Fish and Game area biologist Jeff Gross says the herd's recent growth prompted a larger fall harvest quota of 1,500 bulls.
At least double, if not triple, of what we have been able to allow in past years.
Gross says hunters have so far killed about 1,000 bulls, mostly in Zone 1 along the Steese Highway north of Fairbanks, over 3 days earlier this month, with additional take to the north in Zone 4, where hunting closes at midnight tomorrow. Gross lists three factors that contributed to the high harvest along the Steese Highway.
We had the majority of the herd on the Steese Highway side of their range, and hunter participation was high, and there was good weather, so all those things combined.
The state hunt for 40-mile caribou continues in roadless Zone 3 and in Zone 4 along the Taylor Highway until the fall 1,500 animal quota is met. Another 500 animals are allocated to winter hunts. Gross says the 40-mile herd is being monitored closely for nutritional stress. This will be the first year of a 5-year pause and a state intensive management program that targeted wolves to boost the herd size. Officials with the University of Alaska Fairbanks and more than 100 invited guests gathered yesterday to celebrate completion of a new $245 million power plant. The coal-fired facility will generate electricity and produce heat for the campus. As KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, it replaces a 56-year-old power plant that was becoming increasingly unreliable.
University President Jim Johnson told the crowd that assembled just outside the new power plant that its completion marks the end of a long process that began nearly 20 years ago.
This is a great day many of us have been looking forward to since 1998.
That's about when university officials first realized the campus's old power plant, built in 1962, would have to be replaced. Those concerns were heightened in December 1998 when a component in the old plant failed, knocking out both heat and power for hours and putting the campus at risk of freezing up.
20 years of worry that plant would go down. 20 years of hard work, keeping it together in the harshest climate on the planet.
UAF Chancellor Dan White said the 1998 incident and others since then have demonstrated that a catastrophic failure at the old plant would put billions of dollars of infrastructure at risk.
We just couldn't afford risking all of the infrastructure, all of the educational experience on a plant that was at or exceeding
its design life.
The aging power plant also could have jeopardized federal funding for research, says Michael Castellini, the interim dean of UAF's graduate school.
You now run the risk of saying you're going to not be able to do the type of research you want to do because you can't guarantee a stable power source. Then the value of the research that's lost, not just in dollars, but the value of the information that is lost is phenomenal.
Johnson says that shouldn't be a concern anymore now that the new facility is completed.
This is going to provide the light and the heat for the world's number one Arctic research university today and for many, many years to come.
The new plant also will boost business for Yusubeli Coal Mine, says company president Joe Yusubeli Jr. He said in an interview after the meeting that the new plant will burn a bit more coal than the old one, and he says coal sales will increase as UAF builds more facilities.
We are figuring it's about a wash to begin with, but that will grow over time as the university and campus grows.
But burning all that coal will emit carbon dioxide, the main driver of climate change. University officials say the new plant is fitted with state-of-the-art technology that'll reduce some of its emissions, including PM2.5. But it'll still emit an estimated 132,000 tons of carbon dioxide equivalent annually. Castellini and others at UAF say they still have reservations about that.
The reservations are always there.
Castellini headed up much of UAF's research on the impact of climate change on the Arctic in his role as Dean of the School of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences, including work done aboard the Sikuliak, the National Science Foundation-funded research vessel that he helped bring to UAF. But he says the university had no other viable fuel source for the new plant other than coal, and he says the greater good is served by building the plant so the research can continue.
We know that we've got a challenge on the planet, that we utilize fossil fuel resources, but we know we need heat and power. The goal is to try to figure out how you minimize it.
University officials say the new plant still is undergoing testing and won't go online until December. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
Alaska State Troopers are getting a raise. Alaska Public Media reports that Governor Bill Walker announced the 7.5% pay hike yesterday. The increase, which takes effect September 1st, applies to more than 300 trooper positions, except for two colonels in charge. Walker says the raise does not require legislative approval because it amends an existing contract. Walker points to a retention crisis, which has resulted in more than 50 vacant trooper positions.
It's now because, you know, as we go into, another winter season, we have a big class coming out at the academy. You know, this is sort of the culmination of about a year and a half of work to sort of get to this point of, you know, what's the right number, what's the right amount.
Walker says the increase fits legislative intent in the state operating budget to boost trooper pay by 15% total. The troopers' union says the closest pay comparison is with the Anchorage Police Department, and depending on years of service, comparable positions there make 16 to 19% more. Walker says losing troopers to other departments means lost training expenditures and experience.
This is about fixing what we have now, and there's a lot of I get a lot of input around the state about we need more troopers, and we certainly do.
A public safety spokesperson says the department does not yet have a figure for the total amount of money the raise represents. I'm Dan Bross.